So tonight we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 15. We're going to go through and see what the Word of God has to say. So Matthew chapter 15, we read, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, what by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. You know, that first paragraph we just read, you know, Jesus is dealing with the scribes. Who were the scribes? They were people that copied the Word of God. And a lot of times we go to church and we think we have it together because we're constantly in church. We hear preaching day in, day out. We read our Bible. I've heard say that these scribes knew their Bible so well that you could just put your finger anywhere in the Bible and they could say, oh, I know exactly what that verse is. You could just randomly start quoting any passage in the Bible and they could pick up where you left off. I don't know my Bible that well. But these are the people that Jesus is talking to. And, you know, what problem did they have? Well, they had traditions. You know, there's nothing wrong with the tradition, per se. But the emphasis they put on the tradition was so great that it supplanted the Word of God. And a lot of times we've heard that the Bible says this or the Bible says that. And you can show somebody what the Bible says, and they're reluctant to believe what the Word of God says because, well, that's not what I've heard that verse means. I've always heard that that verse means this or that verse means that. And they can be very reluctant to listen and give heed to what the Word of God says. And in so doing, they're essentially making void the Word of God through their traditions. These people, they had a tradition where they could go to their mother and father and say, it is Corban, and give their mother and father some sort of gift. And they didn't have to do anything for the mom and dad again. And God called that, he was very upset with that because they made void the Word of God through the tradition. You know, many times in our lives, we do things not because we make a conscious decision, but this is the way we've always done things. You know, this is the way my dad did it. This is the way my mom did it. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I've always seen people do it. But that's not the way God said to do it. And in so doing, we make void the Word of God through our traditions. You know, one of the things, we jump down to verse 7. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. And he says in verse 8, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, we love the Lord. We talk about how much we love Jesus. But how truthful are we being? Are we being just like these Pharisees, just like these scribes, where we're honoring God with our lips, we're honoring God with our mouth, but truth be told, our heart's far from God. You know, when God looks at our life, he's like, look, these people, their lives have nothing to do with me. It's all about their tradition. You know, church is just a tradition to them. Reading their Bible is just a tradition to them. And apart from the tradition, they're not serving me at all. You know, it's tradition to them. If my Bible tells them to do something different than what they've been raised, they're not going to follow it. They're just going to follow their tradition. You know, if we read in verse 10, And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said, Knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted hath not planted and shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, shall not both fall into a ditch? Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus answered, are ye also without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that which entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the heart, proceed out of the mouth, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You know, when you preach the word of God, when you live the word of God, you're going to offend some people. You know, Jesus was saying, look, you got it wrong. You're putting your ideas, your traditions far above the word of God. That's wrong. You need to put the word of God far above your traditions. I remember reading in Isaiah, I believe, where God talks about abominable customs. Every culture has these abominable customs. And God says, don't do them. But so many times we cleave to these abominable customs in our own lives, in our own society. And it makes God sick. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Jesus was saying, look, you know, you need to cleave to the word of God, not your traditions. And, you know, people are going to be upset with that when you preach the word of God at them. One of the things Jesus calls them in verse 14 is blind leaders of the blind. If you're blind, can you know somebody else is blind? No, you're just going to follow this person around. He says, the blind lead the blind. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? You got this poor blind person, can't see. He's falling some guy's hand. He thinks he's leading him in the right way. And he doesn't know that he's being headed toward a ditch till he ends up flat on his back. You know, or, you know, with some serious injury because he fell down and hurt himself. And if you're not, if you don't have the spiritual discernment, if you're not in the Word of God, you're going to be a blind person. And if you find somebody else that's just as blind, you won't be able to tell the difference. You know, Peter, he was, you know, he asked the Lord. He didn't quite understand what the Lord was talking about. You know, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. A lot of times we're so concerned. I know as parents, we're often very, very concerned about the influences others have on our children. And absolutely, you should be concerned about that. But what we should be concerned about far more so is what's coming out of our children. You know, what are our children doing? What are our children saying? Because that is what's indicative of what's in their heart. That's what's in their heart. You know, Jesus is saying, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. You know, you have a child that has evil thoughts, it's because he has an evil heart. And you need to look at that. You need to do something about that as a parent. You know, long before a person ever murders somebody, he's a murderer in his heart. That's why he murdered somebody with his hands. You know, adulteries, fornications. He was doing that in his heart long before he did that with his body. He's a fornicator in his heart. Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You know, these are what defile a man. They're already inside of his heart. You know, yes, watch the influences on your kids. But watch what's coming out of your kid first and foremost. Verse 21, then Jesus went forth and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yea, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto the woman, O woman, great is thy faith, be unto thee as thou wilt. and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, how many of us would be like that woman? You know, if our daughter was grievously tormented of, grievously vexed with the devil, you know, went to the Lord, and it's like, Lord, help me. And God said, no. Most of us would be like, well, it wasn't God's will. Well, you know, I'm going to have a daughter that's a little, you know, a little off. It's just God's will. But this woman wouldn't take no for an answer. She begged God. She pleaded with God. And, you know, maybe, you know, we need to be more like that. We need to pray more fervently and with more persistence in the Word of God. One of the things I like that this woman pleads for is she pleads for God's mercy on her life. You know, that's not something most of us pray for a lot. Lord, have mercy on me. But that's a lot of what we do need in our lives. We need the mercy of God. You know, my mind goes back to Lamentations. It talks about it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. What's the context of Lamentations? Was God just pouring out blessing on these people? Just blessing Israel, making it a great and powerful city? No, that's not what Lamentations is about. Lamentations, I think it was the Babylonians came and they took kids and they bashed their heads against the wall. They ripped up the women that were with child. They burned their cities with fire. They took the people captive. You had people that starved to death in the siege of the city. You had just handfuls of people left when there were hundreds. And yet, Jeremiah says, you know, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. You know, great, you know, his mercy, you know, they fail not. That's why we're not consumed. And, you know, most of us, if we wrote Lamentations, we wouldn't put that in Lamentations. You know, the Lord has great mercy. But, you know, it's the way you look at the sin. You know, Jeremiah, when he was talking about the sin, you know, we sinned, it was up to heaven. I mean, it was horrible, all the wickedness and awfulness. God, man, it was because God really was merciful to us that we weren't like Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't wipe us off the face of the planet. You know, most of us, we look at our lives and we see, yeah, we have sin, but I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, okay, yeah, maybe we deserve to pay a extra fine, you know, an extra $10 because it was going, you know, a little fast getting here. But, you know, we don't deserve God to burn our house to the ground. I mean, come on, that's a little overkill. But, you know, that's how Jeremiah viewed the sins of the people. You know, was, man, Lord, we have really done evil and wicked in your sight. And, man, we really deserve very harsh punishment for what we've done. And yeah, what happened to us was harsh, but that was way less than what we deserve. And if we got firmly grounded in the Word of God and saw ourselves as the way the Lord saw us, I think we'd be more like this woman crying after God, just, Lord, please have mercy on me. I know my life's hard, and Lord, I deserve way more than what I'm getting. I know you're being very merciful to me, but Lord, please have mercy. You know, and oftentimes we don't see ourselves as standing greatly in the need of God's mercy. Whether or not we're saved, we're greatly in the need of God's mercy. The other thing that God mentioned about this woman is that she had great faith. Many of us don't have that great faith. You know, Jesus talked about how if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to move mountains. We don't have that kind of faith. You know, I haven't met somebody with that kind of faith yet. And Jesus isn't saying if you have the faith the size of a mountain, you can move a mountain. No, he says it's the faith the size of the mustard seed. And he describes what a mustard seed is. It's the smallest of all seeds. You know, because God knows we don't have much faith. You know, we need to pray to God to increase our faith. Pray to God for mercy. Verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak and the maimed to be made whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, saying, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue now with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You know, Jesus had compassion on the multitude. You know, many times it's easy to see a group of people and not have compassion on them. But we need to be more like Jesus and have compassion on others, people that we don't even know. And his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came to the coast of Magdala. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. You know, many times we're like those Pharisees and Sadducees, where the Word of God is very clear what it wants us to do. And it says, well, I don't know what the Bible says on this. You know, we desire a sign from heaven. You know, oftentimes we're not as conspicuous as the Sadducees and Pharisees, but oftentimes we want the Bible to say, thou shalt do this, that, and the other. Whereas the principles in the Bible are very clear. You know, well, the Bible can't really mean that I need to, you know, let's see. The Bible lays out the principle of the tithe, and it says, surely give the tenth. And I know I made $500 a week, but I don't know how much I should put in the offering plate. I don't know. I don't see the verse that says, thou shalt give $50 this week. Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, it's like I said before, we don't understand because we don't want to understand. We are hard-hearted. We have eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear because we have closed our eyes and stopped our ears because we do not want to see, we don't want to hear, because we don't want to understand what the Word of God says. You know, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus perceived and said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have taken no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets took ye up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000. And how many baskets took ye up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how I bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know? So often we're like the disciples, where we focus on the physical things in life, and we neglect the things that God's trying to show us in his word. We neglect the things that we hear in church. Oftentimes, we really get concerned when we don't have enough food to eat and so on. But we don't really get concerned when we hear somebody teaching something that's off in terms of the word of God. You know, Jesus told them, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, the thing I want you to watch out for isn't food poisoning, isn't something weird about the food they're making. It's something weird about the doctrine they're teaching. You know, Jesus says, beware of this leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. These were, you know, the religious leaders of the day. This would be like a pastor today. Beware of the leaven of the pastors. You know, beware of false doctrine from preachers. So those of you who just joined us, we're in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom say men that I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that Jesus was the Christ. You know, you go back to verse 17, and this is where so many people get in trouble at when they do their Bible reading. So many people get in trouble at when they do their studying. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It is so easy to rely on our flesh and blood. It's so easy to rely on what other people have said, what you're able to come up with yourself, and it's so hard to rest and rely on the Lord to reveal things unto you. You know, Jesus said that he was blessed because God revealed things to him from his word. And that is hard. One of the things also that I see that's difficult is you look in verse 20. He charged his disciples that he should tell no man that Jesus was the Christ. You know, I don't understand necessarily all the reason for God's timing. You know, here they're telling the gospel. They're telling the truth that Jesus was the Christ. But yet God in his timing says, this isn't the right time to tell everybody that I'm the Christ. Sometimes God will tell you to do things on a timetable that makes no sense to us at all. I mean, if I was the Lord, I'd think that would be the perfect time to tell everybody Jesus is the Christ when he's right there. But God said that's not the time. And his ways are best. I don't understand Jesus' timetable, his reasoning. But Jesus knows, God knows why he had things done when he had them done. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You know, Peter, he was one of the disciples of Christ. He had Jesus as his teacher. As, you know, I mean, Pastor Vernon's good, but imagine having Jesus get in the pulpit every Sunday. Imagine following Jesus around every day of the week. And, you know, we would learn so much. But yet, even following Jesus, the devil was able to put thoughts in Peter's heart. You know, he convinced Peter to try to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. Lord, you don't want to do that. This isn't ever going to happen to you. And how did Satan do that? Because Peter savored things that were of men. There were things that Peter savored that weren't necessarily bad things, But the devil was able to use those to get Peter to go against the will of God, or tried to get other people to go against the will of God. You know, there's nothing wrong with a nice, easy life, having food on the table, reliable paycheck, being able to buy nice things for your wife and children. But the devil can easily use those things to get you out of the will of God. You know, he can get you out of a job that allows you to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, into a job where you're not allowed to work those hours. You're never able to attend church because you're so busy. That's not the will of God, to have you out of church. But, is there anything wrong with providing those things for your family? No, but the devil is able to use those to get you to go against God, to get you to get other people to go against God. And God said, when you do those things, thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I remember reading about the Pharisees as a little kid, and you see, just how despicable they are. But the older I got, the more I read about the Pharisees, the harder it was to really despise them, because the more you see yourself in them, the more you see if we lived back in Jesus' day, I think we'd really be shocked at who the Pharisees were. You have in mind that they're these evil, wicked, horrible people, and they were. But I think if we as men were to see them, we'd actually have them in great admiration. Man, I hope I could live as holy as that Pharisee. One of the things that the Pharisees had a problem with is that they loved the praise of men. Who doesn't love being, patted on the back? Everybody loves that. And the Bible says they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And I think we all have a problem with that to a degree. It's hard to serve the Lord when, people will think you're stupid. When people will, say mean and derogatory things about you. All right, verse 24 of Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall every man be rewarded according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus' call, that's a call not well heeded today. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you a lot. I want you to deny yourself. People don't want to deny themselves anything. I don't want to deny myself. You look at the problems in your life, a lot of the problems you have is because you don't want to deny yourselves. If you step on the scale and the number reads a little too high, the problem isn't that you shrunk. The problem is that you have a problem denying yourself. You see that candy bar in the store and you don't deny yourself, you eat it. You see that extra food on the plate, you don't deny yourself, you eat it. And Jesus, the first thing he says, let him deny himself. And then it gets worse. He says, take up his cross. And I've heard people say there was no such thing as a padded cross. Absolutely correct. You take up a cross, I don't care what cross you take up, it's going to be painful. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life, that's the first instinct of man, to save his life. People will do anything to keep themselves alive. You work in the medical field, you'll see people, they'll have a heart attack and they'll lose 100 pounds. Those take medicine. They'll impoverish themselves going through chemotherapy, radiation, paying for all this stuff. You know, one of the things the devil said about man, you know, man will give all that he hath to save his life. You know, people will do just about anything to save their life. And Jesus says, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. How many people? You look at people that are strung out on drugs. You look at people, their lives are a wreck. They're not trying to ruin their life. They're trying to save their life. That's the way they're dealing with it. That's the way they're saving their life. And they're losing it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, you lose your life. You give your life up. Going on the mission field, serving the Lord, you're going to save it. You're going to find it. And the Lord spells it out even more clearly. What is a man profited? What's it all going to be worth? You know, you work your fingers to the bone. You end up being Bill Gates, worth, I think, $80 billion. More money than everybody in this church put together will ever see in their lifetime. What's it profited him? You know, when he dies, somebody else is going to be living in that house. Somebody else is going to be driving his car. So, you know, the government will probably take about half his money and, you know, do whatever they do with it. You know, really, what profit does it do him when he dies? If he goes to hell, what profit is it going to do him? You think Bill Gates can write a check to God and say, hey, God, you know, I've lived, I've never gotten saved before, or, you know, let's say he lived an awful life. You know, I've lived a very sinful and wicked life. How much money will it take to get me out of hell, God? I'll write a check for $1 billion. Do you think God's going to take that? No, it's not going to work. What if he gives his whole fortune away? It's not going to work. You know, there's nothing you can give in exchange for your soul. There's nothing you can give to extend your time when it's your time to go. You know, why? Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much money you've earned or whatever. You're going to be rewarded according to your works. Whether or not you've accepted Jesus into your life. Whether or not you live wickedly or justly. You know, God says every man. You know, and that's why it is so important for us to deny ourselves, to give up our lives in following Christ. You know, that is the most difficult thing God can ask of any of us. And it's the first thing he asks. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Give up what you treasure most and follow me. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters, whether or not you followed Christ. Doesn't matter how much money you earn. Doesn't matter how many bridges you build, what countries you conquer, or anything else. It doesn't profit a man. What you gain in this life, all that matters is whether or not you followed Christ. So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you that you warn us so clearly in the Word of God about making your word void through our traditions in life, Lord. Help us not to hold fast to tradition, but help us to hold fast to the Word of God. Help us not to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which tempt you constantly, seeking a sign in your word, but rather, Lord, help us to just seek what your word has to say and do it. Help us not to play games with you, Lord. And help us to first and foremost deny ourselves and do whatever it takes to follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, do we have any prayer requests?